A major miniseries event begins this weekend on ABC, War and Remembrance. It's a sequel to Winds of War. Both are based on novels about World War II by Herman Woke, who also co-wrote the teleplays. TV critic David Bianculli has a preview of this new TV marathon.
When Winds of War premiered 5 years ago on ABC, it was a miniseries with a lot of maxi problems. It was supposed to be an epic story about World War II, but it stopped at Pearl Harbor, and none of the major characters died. Some of them, though, turned in deadly performances, most notably Ally McGraw. Except for a few strong action scenes and supporting performances, Winds of War was a great big bore. But when it was seen by an estimated 140 million people, making it the third most popular miniseries of all time, a sequel was inevitable. The irony is that War and Remembrance, which starts this Sunday and presents 17 and a half hours in 7 installments, doesn't have an ending either. Like Winds of War, it just stops, and with a few more war years still left to cover. But where Winds of War was produced with no sequel in sight, the conclusion of War and Remembrance has already been filmed and should be ready for telecast by May of next year. Now, get ready for a shocker. Even though Winds of War was pretty terrible, this giant chunk of War and Remembrance is pretty good. And since it gets better as it goes along, viewers have every right to expect that the concluding installments, whenever they finally show up, will justify all the hype about what will be, by that time, American television's longest miniseries. Why does War and Remembrance succeed where Winds of War failed? For one thing, the military strategy sessions and battle scenes are much better, and so are the actors. Executive producer Dan Curtis, who also directs, used the off-season to trade up, so to speak, a lot of his players. More than 10 actors in major roles have been replaced for the sequel, and in each and every case, it's a major improvement. Hart Buckner is much more impressive in Jan Michael Vincent's role of Byron Henry. Jane Seymour helps a lot by playing Byron's wife Natalie, picking up where Ally McGraw left off. Sir John Gielgud portrays Aaron Jastrow, Natalie's uncle, much better than John Houseman did in the original. Barry Bostwick steals the show as a rough-and-ready submarine commander. And Stephen Burkhoff inherits Gunter Meisner's role of Adolf Hitler. Now, TV has an endless supply of Adolf Hitlers, but Burkhoff's is the most fervent and fanatic of them all.
He surrendered! Most surprising.
No sense of honor, my Führer.
They've got a German Field Marshal! No other Field Marshal has ever been captured alive! What treachery! What disgraceful behavior! Ah, dirty, cowardly swine! How did he not have the decency to kill himself?
Victoria Tennant and David Dukes, the best actors from Winds of War, are back, which also strengthens this new production. So, of course, are Robert Mitchum and Polly Bergen as Pug and Rhoda Henry, which doesn't help, except that their contributions are pretty much kept to a minimum. And if you'll forgive this show its lapses of clunky exposition and some laughably bad romantic scenes, War and Remembrance is indeed worth the time. Parts 2 and 7, which dramatize a test gassing at Auschwitz and the mass murder at Baba Yar, are intentionally and effectively horrifying. And almost every episode has at least one impressive set piece, the Battle of Midway in Part 3, and a Das Boot-type submarine mission in Part 1. As for the impact of War and Remembrance on the future of miniseries as a whole, that's a topic for another report. Maybe I'll write a sequel.
David Bianculli is television critic for the New York Post.